Welcome to the Wizards of Dapps podcast, where we interview the creators of various decentralized applications in the Web3 ecosystem. We learn about how they are built and the insights that come from shipping. And we're your co-hosts. I'm Peter.
And I'm Bethany.
Welcome to the Wizard of Dapps. This week we're talking to Makoto and James from ArchieDAO. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
So Makoto, would you like to tell us what is ArchieDAO and why you thought it was a good idea to fork Moloch DAO and create like this thing?
Yeah, so ArchieDAO is a party DAO, basically.
A party DAO.
Yeah, and I basically do DApp called Kickback, which is about like event registration. I'm heavily involved in the event space. So then I knew that like, DevCon 5 is coming and I wanted to do something interesting. And I also wanted to know something about DAO. And so I thought, yeah, party DAO sounds good. So hence, ArchieDAO is born.
Nice. Just before we go further, would you like to give some context and background on what is Kickback?
Yeah, so Kickback is it's a bit like Eventbrite, like to host like free events. But like probably more like Eventbrite or meetup.com is if it's free event, people just RSVP, just like you do for bookmarking, and there's no commitment. So we use basically either ETH or DAI to commit before when you sign up. If you don't come, you lose. And one unique aspect is that we share all the no-shows. So like if you go to the events and if some people don't turn up, you might end up getting more basically money.
Is that where you drew inspiration from? I mean, when did first Kickback launch? And it wasn't called Kickback, right?
Yeah, it used to be called Block Party. Then it kind of started, I came up with a word called BD and AD. So like before the DAO or after the DAO. And I got into the space before the DAO.
Right, the DAO.
That was a 2006, yeah, BD, so before that DAO, yeah. And that was back in 2016, just when Ethereum did the hard fork for the Homestead release. At that time, I got into space, and because of all these new releases, all the documentation was kind of out of date. So when I tried to learn it, I struggled a bit. So I thought, like, yeah, it's better to have a meetup and meet like people together so we can teach each other. So that's how I started like London Ethereum Code Up, which I've been doing like for almost 3 years, and I just had it last night. While we are doing it, you know, I wanted to create something to experiment with the smart contract. And that was I think I was trying to do like a company. I used to work in an insurance company and we had an internal hackathon. And I was talking about like what to build in the hackathon. And the one of my colleagues said, yeah, let's do some meetup things. And I think he suggested like, you know, oh, let's just stake because Ethereum is just smart contract is basically escrow. So we could do that. And that's how it was born. That we did a fast block party meetup a night before the DevCon 2 in Shanghai. That was a time when we used to basically commit like one ETH to come. And that meetup itself, I think everybody came. That was almost 3 years ago.
Do you know how many meetups, I guess, Kickback has been used for?
If you go to kickback.events, we actually show everything. So probably we have 30 or 40. Yeah, before Kickback, during the block party, I think I did another 20 or 30 of them. Yeah, mostly about my own events. Yeah, after that, like we got the small funding from Status. At that time, we rebranded to Kickback because there's some other company has a similar name. And we did a relaunch in the last year's DevCon 4 in Prague.
Running in basically 50, 60 events, right, using Kickback's model, where participants and users stake to actually come to the event. What have you learned from that? Any key takeaways?
What did I learn from these events? Yeah, so I think Ethereum is still early days. So Kickback is one of the kind of only dApp where you are almost like forced to use. Like most of the dApps, like for example, CryptKitties,
right.
No one forces you to buy CryptKitties, right? No one forces you to buy like CDP or something. But in case of Kickback, it's actually up to the meetup organizer. And so when I first started, basically I started using my own meetup. And if you can't RSVP, you can't come. So that really forced some people who has never used board, like any ETH or something, to really, really try out. So I got some people say like, oh, thank you very much. This gave me an opportunity to, you know, start playing with the DApp. That was good. But also at the same time, some people really, really struggled. And some people tried to send, basically one of the stuff, like still the DApp browser is a new thing. So some people try to just send the ETH directly from like a Coinbase exchange. If you just send the ETH to smart contract, it just bounce back, right? And the Coinbase is like a kind of, the account you own is not yours, right? Proxy one. So if it bounced back, it actually doesn't go back to your wallet, but it goes to the Coinbase wallet or something. And they ask me to kind of recover. And that's like something like that. Like you might think that's no one going to do that. I found lots of unique way of people trying to use it because, they've never used it. So that always, yeah, I learned something new.
I like it. It totally makes sense. It's like, in the physical, we can't really avoid not using it, right? Especially if an event forces it. It forces people to use it. It's interesting that you talk about how event dApps, right, such as Kickback, force people to use them because it's up to the meetup organizer to decide how the event is run. And in the physical, you can't really avoid that. I remember being rejected from a party because I just didn't have it.
Oh, which one?
I forgot which one it was, but it was like it was a party, I think, DevCon 4 last year in Prague. Except I think I just went onto the site and looked at someone who hasn't basically been checked in, and I just used their username.
Oh, was it for a Halloween party?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that was a fast time it used for like almost 200 people, and I've never done with that size. So that was a new experiment because I basically acted as a bouncer, and I basically bounced pretty much everybody who didn't RSVP. So I got really hated.
Yeah,
last year. So when I went to other party, they said like, "Whoa, this is my party, and why are you here?"
It's funny. It's a playbook where it's like, if I haven't RSVP'd or signed up to Eventbrite or Kickback, I just like roughly guess who would be there and who hasn't been there yet. So I just like say someone else's email and just get through. It's beautiful. It's a great system.
Yeah.
So that's all leading up to Orochi DAO, right? Am I pronouncing it incorrectly, I believe?
Orochi?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, that's fine. I think I remember Eric Conner when he first introduced on ETHHub, he was saying Orochi or something. That was really, really wrong.
Orochi DAO, right? I guess the point of it was to basically coordinate sponsorship money, right, for Ethereum's DevCon 5 side events. And obviously it has participated and sponsored other events aside from that, more including like recently E4 to Lose after party events. But would you like to tell me and go into detail, like how did our Orochi DAO start and why the name Orochi?
Yeah, so it started back in end of June. Again, I saw the Eric Conner's ETHHub was tweeting, like, I think he's member of Moloch DAO, I think. And he was saying, are there any idea of to have some impact with relatively lower budget, like less than 10,000? And he tweeted that idea. And I tweeted back, said, 10,000, if you kind of give the money to any project, it doesn't really help people like sustain for the project for the long period. Like 10,000 doesn't really help paying for the salary for a long time. Whereas if you do it for events, 10,000 is quite a lot if you treat it as like a sponsor event or something. So I saw this is kind of good idea. And I also wanted to make it very scoped that if you do for the very long running project, you can't really measure the impact. Whereas if you just say this is one off events just for the DevCon 5 so that you can kind of experiment the whole sequence. So I thought that was a good idea. And I wrote a blog post and I proposed someone to make a proposal to Moloch, which no one did from Moloch. But then I think I got the Telegram message from you said MetaCartel would pay for the experiment, I think. And then how you guys decided to give me some ease to do. And I think first thing I learned is I had to join these MetaCartel and I had to rage quit, but you have to leave one share or something, some weird, convoluted ways so that I can get the money. And that took a while to figure out. But I think that was like August 8th, I think, got funded. It was a fast wave of you guys, like Metacartel grants. And we are one of like three or four projects. And also, I didn't know that like if you don't rage quit and if you stay for a long time, whenever someone new proposal comes in, then it gets diluted, rage quit relatively quickly. So I think I was the second person who ever rage quitted from kind of Moloch. First one was like Odyssey guys, they did for something. But I was the first one to basically pretty much rage quit everything from Metacartel except one. Then I wanted to summon, but I had no idea how to do it. And at that time, it was before the DAO House, which is a factory to create Moloch related contract. That wasn't there as well. So I had no clue. And like Peter keeps saying, like, yeah, I can do it. Like, let me do it. Like, it's so fun. And they're like, I was like, yeah, but you can deploy the contract, but what happened to the, you know, you need the whole thing, like in a website or the stuff. So in August 19, just beginning of the Building Blockchain Week, you guys had a Metacartel demo day when I announced. And that was a time when basically I started recruiting members. Yeah, at that time.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Peter was saying, like, like I can just talk to people and I can bring so many people. You didn't bring anyone. So I just came to the realization that I had to do it by myself. Wow. So like every time I was going to the event, like I was talking to people like, hey, this is the Orochi concept. So yeah, so that was a time I had to recruit for all the members. So I think most of the initial member was some people I met in the past, in the previous events. Every time I go to some events during that week, I was saying like, yeah, I'm doing Orochi's thing. And then I think I got about five or six people showed interest. And at the same time, I had to figure out like, you know, how much people should pledge. So I asked around, like, you know, how much would you pay? And they said 500. I think I asked two people. So with a sample size of two, I decided to say, you need to have a 500 die to start with. So that was that week I was doing the kind of recruiting. Plus then in the East Berlin hackathon, I thought, yeah, I should do it. I decided to team up with a Will, can't pronounce his last name, Will Harbonet, from Diversify, formerly known as East Phoenix. We decided to basically hack the Moloch and deploy our own, but we wanted to have a twist that we integrate with Aldai. Actually, that was the first time I met a guy called Fran. He's one of the creator of the Aldai, and he was talking about, oh, you should use Aldai for kickback. But I said, like, are you audited? And then he said, no, forget about it. But like, you know, if it's DAO, like maybe I can do it. Like, you know, it's not my baby. So then like we did it. Will did the most of the contract work. So he was actually working, but I couldn't figure out how to set up the front end. So that weekend, I think I forked Moloch, Metacartel, Yandao. I did all of them. And then I couldn't make it work. And I think I'm one of the few rejects from the East Berlin that I couldn't, my submission even got rejected. That was a, you know, breaking my heart. But yeah. One thing great was like during that time, I think I was kind of chasing up the Odyssey guys. Like they were, that was a weekend they were creating the DAO House. And I kept asking, like, how do I deploy? And but it was good. Like, you know, I got to know the team. And after that, we continued. And even after we finished Berlin Blockchain Week, we kept saying, like, yeah, let's deploy it. Then we agreed that, like, so the money we got from Metacartel, we basically rage quit and then I kind of divided it to half or something. Then I gave the half of the portion to them and so that they can also help deploying. Once they deployed, I think you gave me like 25,000 worth of ETH, but that was a time like, you know, ETH was going downhill. So by the time we rage quit, it was like 1,500 or something. Then like we split by half or something. And so it was not, like after we put in the DAO, not much left basically. Yeah, then we put the two of them. Then like we asked people to, you know, join. So at that time, like I'm making proposal for pretty much everything. Then I spent almost 2 weeks just trying to deploy and set everything. And after the blockchain week, then on the September 5th, we managed to deploy and you know, pledged. Then after that, we are inviting everybody, yeah, to the point that like, we got 13 members. So in total, we had $6,500. Then we did the initial, at that time, I think the only thing we decided, we knew we were going to do is to organize a event, which is about, we call it initially Year of DAOs. Whole thing was, I was organizing something called Osaka Blockchain Week calendar with a couple like a local, Japanese people, so that we can help like listing their events as well as helping people to organize one. And we saw, because we are helping organize events, we think we should do some events by ourselves. Then we were thinking about, we wanted to do something significant for that year. And usually 2016 was ICO, 17 was kind of NFT, was it NFT? Yeah, 18 was DeFi or something. There was kind of theme every year. Then I thought, oh, it must be the DAO. So initially I was thinking about doing just like a generic DAO events. When I was looking for speakers, I think first response from Moloch team was like, well, we're going to do the event in the same day. So I initially thought like, oh, okay, so you are having a conflicting event. I think that was a time I was about to rage quit from Orochi, which we and just trust everything.
I'm like, no, do not do that.
Yeah, and then I think when I said that, Peter got panicked and he tried to call me, and I didn't respond to him for the whole week and pretend that I'm very upset. But like in the end, we decided to join. And
oh my God.
The Moloch team was like, I think they wanted to say like Morocco and the friends meeting or something. And I said like, that's not going to happen. So like that was a first thing was, you know, Morocco is all about sacrifice and compromise. So first thing we did is like, let's compromise each other. Hence the name became like the EL DAO Moloch Rises or something.
Yep.
So like, okay, yeah. But it became kind of Moloch-centric. I think it was okay. Because it was now joining the event, we didn't have to basically spend all the money we collected. So we only actually paid 500 DAI to Moloch team. That left us to do quite a lot of money, like almost $5,000. Then when we met, like I think we were having discussion about what else we can do. Then I think a couple of members start saying like, I think Chris from Osirium and Megan from Very Ledger.
So before we continue, right? So the first event that, you know, RCDAO kind of like came together to organize and co-sponsor event, I guess, event with, right, was Moloch DAO 2019 Year of the DAO Moloch Rises, right, in Osaka. I think it was a Sunday before the whole week started. Would you like to just walk through, like, as you know, events are clusterfuck to organize, and DAOs and people in general are also clusterfuck to organize. If you put them together, it's not a good mix, right? Would you like to kind of go into like, what were the main struggles of pulling that off?
I think one of the trick I learned, not about like organizing event itself, but like one of the trick power of Moloch is like a rage quit threat. I don't think anyone really rage quit apart from like they get the money out. But like as part of the negotiation, I was able to use like rage threatening to rage quit quite often effectively against Peter to kind of, you know, you work to in favor for us. That was a good lesson learned, I think.
I had more skin in the game than you guys did in seeing it succeed in some ways.
I think I kicked you out from one of the channel, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I'm like, fuck, Makoto's like not doing this. And I was like, I better call Makoto up. Like, we got to solve this thing.
Like, I was in a bed, man. It was Sunday morning or something.
That's actually really interesting. You brought up the rage quit threat. You actually did quite leverage that quite effectively. I think you were like, yeah, no, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to rage quit. And we're like, fuck.
It's amazing that like even the summoner have a right to quit, right? I can just like throw away it. That's a power.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So we also organized a whiskey tasting event.
Yes. That was like I didn't do much because like, yeah, again, as I said, Megan and Chris were the one who was trying to make it happen. And, but like one of the struggle in Japan is not many venues speak English. So trying to book the space was a challenge, but like, you know, I speak Japanese, so that wasn't a problem. So I just asked around in Osaka Blockchain Week member, like, you know, hey, we're trying to do some events and they suggested a place. I just made a phone call, done. So for me, it was just like one phone call. Yeah, it was, I think, one of the last day of the DevCon. It was very casual because it was like a kind of social. We didn't have any like speed talks. So it was more about like enabling the meets.
The interesting thing was that I basically watched this event focused DAO that was co-sponsoring events evolve or degenerate or even perhaps transcend into a DAO that just funded a bunch of booze for everyone. It was, it funded everyone to just get wasted on whiskey. And, you know, you actually had an emergency DAO meeting in the middle of the whiskey tasting session, right? And would you like to tell us about that?
I think we initially decided to pledge like a 1,500 DAI for it. Then, like initially, we planned to start late, around 9, so people don't have to order any food because that's going to increase the cost. But people are starting going hard on whiskey. So I think we reached the 1,000 DAI in the first 30 minutes or something. Then we're like, oh shit, what are we going to do? So then like we start having like, you know, emergency meeting to have everybody, that all the DAO members to bring in one space to say how much more we should do. At that time, I talked to the restaurant that like, you know, if it hits like about 1,000, let me know. Then they came saying it's going very quickly. Then okay, we had a meeting, but like at that time, that was a restaurant. It's not a pub. We got told off like, you know, please do not stand up and gather in a place. You know, it's going to like annoy other people. I can't get told off, but like we just made a decision like, you know, yeah, we're going to increase the budget and that comes. So we had an emergency meeting. That was fun.
Yeah, the DAO decided it wants to use more of its funds to pay for booze. And it did. Quick meeting, quick rough consensus. I mean, you know, soon in Japan, we'll be seeing signs around the town saying no DAOs allowed. You know, just too many people.
Yeah.
So James is actually on this call with us right now, right? James from Axia Lab and also another member of Metacartel DAO and Archie DAO. So you're actually another member of Archie DAO, right? How did you join and how did you find that event?
I think I was almost the last person to join Orochi DAO. I joined, like, I was, my proposal was still in grace period at the first year of the DAO events, so I could almost claim being a member. But I sort of saw it on the lead up to DevCon and was like, oh, this is interesting, at the same time that I was sort of following the Metacartel, you know, rabbit hole, and sort of found Orochi DAO. I was like, okay, cool, how do I get involved? How do I sign up? I pledged my 500 DAI, and then I sent Makoto a message, and he was like, I don't know who the fuck you are. I'm not sure you can join. Who are you? And I was like, well, like, I'm pretty sure we've met before. And also, I'm part of Metacartel and blah, blah, blah. And he was like, okay, man, you can join then. We will allow it. And so then I showed up to the Year of the DAO events and started participating. But going back to that whiskey tasting event, you know, that soft consensus that we all made. So we're all sort of drinking whiskey and there's a bunch of people hanging out. Us getting in a circle and sort of, you know, throwing our hands up about voting on the proposal, I thought that was actually really interesting. And that says a lot about sort of Moloch DAO and Metacartel structure overall, where, you know, it's not about going and doing, we didn't all have to get our Web3 wallets out and go onto DAO House and make a vote. We could all sort of, you know, make that rough consensus and decide on that outcome, put our hands up, and then we can agree on it. We can move forward. And if anyone wants to question that in the future, then that's just their responsibility. And, you know, they're just being a dick, basically, because we sort of all came, we all agreed on it and came to that conclusion. And I think that paints a picture of what means to be one, like a Moloch structured DAO, where the people are significantly more important than the on-chain proposals or voting.
We need a booze DAO, just like straight out degeneracy. I'm not sure if that's too productive for our ecosystem.
Only purchases alcohol.
Yeah, I guess after this whiskey tasting event, right, we also had a few other events that happened, including, you know, the Eve Waterloo party there.
Just, what was it, almost 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, we did the after party for Eve Waterloo, and that was sort of the same. Megan was super involved in setting that all up, but basically we had the official after party with alongside Eve Global, and we had sort of all the judges and all the attendees turn out and hang out for a final event. And it was also like a final hurrah, really, because, you know, being the last ETH Global event of the year, everyone's sort of going home, or a lot of people going home to settle down over Christmas. And so it was really fun. We had a bunch of people come out and we were having sake. We used the burner wallet with Austin and those guys. And it was a really good event. We had like a stock market of how the drinks were being priced. And that was, again, sort of one of the real keys. I was actually talking, Vitalik came up and was asking about Orochi DAO and what it was during the event. And I sort of explained it to him. And the way I pitched it was that there's two different keys as to why I think Orochi works. The first one is the self-selecting nature, where, you know, like if Tron tries to join the DAO, we say, no, you're not cool enough. Sorry, you're not allowed to join. And then if a great, interesting company tries to join the DAO, we say, yes, you know, absolutely, you can join the collective sponsorship. So I think that self-selecting nature, and then also, you know, the group sponsorship, where we can sort of do these events where maybe, you know, individually we wouldn't be willing to throw down $2,000 on a party, but collectively it's really easy. Those two reasons are sort of the key as to, at least from my perspective, how I explained Orochi. And then looking forward as well, I think we're talking about Orochi 2, which I'm sure Makoto will go into. The idea of continuing this Orochi forward, the sponsorship DAO, and looking at things like a DevCon booth, you know, like how does a DAO buy a DevCon booth? And then how do we all sort of, you know, split up the time amongst the sponsors for having that DevCon booth? And things like that, I think, are a really interesting use case for these types of DAOs.
That's a great idea, actually. Yeah, we should actually follow up on that after this. But, you know, so guys, what's next for Orochi DAO? I know it's unwinding.
So next, like when I first summoned, I just said like, you know, it's for the DevCon 5 only. So initially I was just going to finish and the experiment over. But during that time, I think we are really attached to the brand of the Orochi and the members. But at the same time, we have a couple of issues that these accounting is quite difficult. That like as when you first like people put the money, one share equals to one DAI. So it was easy to find out. But once the dilution happens, it's very getting difficult to keep track of, like, you know, what event, how much you spend, and it, hence, like, what is the kind of actual remaining balance and all that stuff. So for that reason, I think we'd like to close current Orochi DAO so that we can figure out, like, how it's being spent and what was remaining. Basically, I wanted to make it, like, a very quick decision DAO. So the big difference to other Moloch one is like our voting period and the pledging period is very short. It's only one day. So most of the Moloch families, they you guys need almost like 2 weeks for the voting. And what was the period called after the voting?
Grace period.
Grace period. That was too slow because by that time we created DAO, it was only a month away. But now that's also the risk that within 2 days, if someone make a proposal while people are like just heading back from, they've gone back to, you know, somewhere else, you know, people could make a malicious proposal. Good thing about Moloch right now is UI is still quite challenging. So I think not many people knows how to propose. But that means, I think so far, it's only like me and the Odyssey guys and probably Megan, only probably 3-4 people actually manage to raise proposal and the stuff. But like if that happens, people might don't know even how to do rage quit and the stuff. So first, we want everybody to be able to the rage quit just almost like an education purpose. They kind of fully onboarded how the Orochi works. And after that, we close it and then we want to create a new one for the East Denver and the people put another money. And this also addresses another problem of the DAO itself is that most of time, unless new member comes in, DAO's funding keep decreasing. So you always have to try to recruit new members, but that's not really sustainable, scalable. The ideal solution I think it should really need is some sort of like a membership subscription model. Each member keeps paying every month. Doesn't exist right now. So to walk it around, we just close it once.
I think that's a valuable experiment, you know, to actually create a DAO where you gain governance rights if you pay the monthly subscription.
I think that's like a eventual stage, but because we don't have it, then walk around is just, you know, we do the purpose one, like for the Istanbul or something. Then after that, you quit, you put the money. Then if you want to the new one, all the member just pledge in, you know, same $500. So you always top it up to kind of walk around with the issue of like sustainable funding bits. Yeah, so that's a idea.
Do you have any advice if anyone else wanted to experiment with their own Moloch fork, right? Or around events? Do you want to see any experiments kind of happen?
Well, if you want to do event, you could just join Orochi. That's one option. I mean, there's no reason like not to have more than one DAO for one event. So if you have a kind of slightly different criteria where you want to have your kind of circle of friends as a DAO, yeah, why not just do it? Another thing is, yeah, so type of the DAO is that one of the things I think James wrote down in a blog post is how you measure the KPI of the Moloch DAO specific is very simple by looking at the share price. That when you first start, share price is usually one. And the more proposal comes in and the more money gets out taken out, the share price goes down. And it's usually a bad thing in the company, but in our, I think, setting, it's actually the reflection that money well spent. I think first thing is like you have to find out, like DAO doesn't bring you money. So you have to work hard to bring all the members. That was how fast, because Peter didn't help me. I had to go through every, you know, single my friend and say, do you want to join, right? Like, so you have to have a plan to do it. Like, if you just have a DAO and if there's no money, it's useless, right? Because it's a kind of money coordination mechanism. First thing is, if you have nothing in your DAO is a failure. The second hurdle is, if you have it, but if your share price is almost close to one for a very long time, that's also another sign of failure. You have to find out what to use the money to spend the money on. So if your share, I think I did a bit of analysis, like all the Moloch ones still about like 80.8, right? And we are the only one which is below 0.5, which means like we really, really, really nailing on the spending. And so whatever the purpose you do, you have to have a reason to spend money on. I think that's a kind of two things. Like first, get money. And second, you don't have to have the plan on. You really have to work hard to decide what to spend on. So that's the two things I think you kind of think about when you are someone in DAO. At the same time, like these things I only learned because I did a DAO. So people in a lifetime, everybody should DAO at least once. It might not be your thing, but like you're gonna, it's a life experience.
I think that kind of wraps things up. That's crazy to end up that point of like everyone must DAO at least once in their life. Thank you guys for coming on board. It's been hilarious to kind of hear about the recount of exactly what I, from another perspective. It's good to have you guys on.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed what you listened to and are interested in supporting this podcast, then please follow us on Twitter at Wizard of Dapps. The show notes will be on our website, and if you want to continue the conversation, join our Telegram group. All links will be in the episode description. Thanks for listening.